this Ben Cherington audio from MLB Network from a short time ago. He was on there. Here he is being asked by Brian Kenny, who I do like a lot, about the Pirates' trade deadline plans.
It's interesting because I'm wondering, you know, do you have patience and you come back with an even stronger team next year where you can be an excellent team? Because I think your team is very good, very young. Or do you try to push in this year? Given that you do have kind of that top three in the rotation, you'd be dangerous in a wild card. What will your attitude be toward the deadline?
Well, I hope and I believe that those two things don't have to be mutually exclusive. I think there'll be, if we work hard enough, we do our jobs well enough, there'll be opportunities we can find to make the team better this year in a way that still helps us continue to get even better going forward. I think we ought to focus on both. I think we can focus on both in any team, but I would say particularly with the Pirates, just given that we've been through some difficult seasons, let's face it, every major league season is precious. When there's a chance to stay in it, to support a group of players and staff in a clubhouse or busting their tails every day, then we ought to do our jobs to try to do that. And of course, we do believe that we have a chance to be competitive and get to a level of winning that's sustainable. We want to do that. We want to create. We don't want to talk about a short window. We want to build something that leads to longer term success. We want to do that too. I think we can do both. It's just about, it comes back to execution and doing our jobs well.
Okay. So one of the things from hearing that answer that I think you can pretty much rule out is expensive rental. Any kind of deal for a player on an expiring contract who you're trading for just a couple of months, if it's going to require something significant to get that guy, the Pirates aren't going to do it. Like, let's say the Mets fell out of it again and this ended up being a mirage and they collapse and Pete Alonso is on the trade block a month from now. Based on that answer, I don't think the Pirates would be interested, because he is saying you do have to, he's trying to serve two masters here. He's trying to win now, but also win down the road. And if you're sacrificing prospects for someone that just gives you one swing at it, I don't think he wants to do that. Now, I don't think that rules out cheap rentals. I think guys that you can pick up for a couple months and you're giving away down the line prospects, I think he would do that, Chris. But I don't think he'd do expensive rental.
No, I don't think he would either, based on that answer, for the same reasons you think it. But at that point, you ask yourself, if every major league season is precious, are small impact, small cost rentals going to get it done?
Probably not, but here's the flip side of it. Even if it is Pete Alonso, do they feel like a team that's a missing piece away to you?
No, they feel like about 2.5 missing pieces away.
Right.
Probably two bats in a bullpen arm.
So if this were 2014, let's say.
Different story.
And you can get Pete Alonso and take a shot at it that October, and he's gone the next year, but you put a 50 home run player on your team that just went to the playoffs the year before, okay, you trade at the time Gregory Polanco or somebody like that to get him. I think that the Pirates have a good chance if they were to get in, but enough of a chance where I'd want to trade a top prospect for, I probably would still do it. I probably would still do it. Because here's my thing, like, I don't really have a lot of trust in them to take the top prospect and turn him into good to very good major league player. So they would, it sounds like they would scoff if the Mets did collapse and said, we'll take Tamar Johnson straight up for a rental of Pete Alonso. They would say no, and I would say yes. Because I have the negative thinking, I have the...
Tamar Johnson's not going to hit his ceiling
fatalistic.
Here. He's going to be closer to his floor here.
Yep, he's going to be a bust here. He's going to be an underachiever.
The actual difference being, that's your view as somebody who's watched this now for 14 years and watched them not generally turn these guys out to be great players when they come up as prospects. But if you're Ben Cherington, you don't feel that way,
no.
Do you? You feel like, no, these guys under my regime's watch are going to be good.
And then he knows how, he's one of these guys too, is like the randomness of the playoffs. If you go to the craps table and you come up craps and you lose, well, now you're gone Alonso, who has 0.0 chance of resigning here, mm-hmm. and you've lost a guy that you could have had for 7, 8, 9 years, potentially.
Potentially. I think it's more likely they're going to try to, like, a little, like, bird, like, peck here, peck there, try to make those little in-the-margins moves.
But do you hear in that answer the possibility for because he's talking about like not wanting to have like a finite window, do you hear, well, we would trade a substantial prospect if it meant getting a player that had
only
like let me put it this way, like the equivalent of the Steelers trading for Minkah Fitzpatrick. Here is a young established major league player that has several years on his contract left, and he's not even that expensive. So you take,
they would do that because they'd say we're giving up three potential. Let's say it's just three potential foundational pieces. Potential being, do they pan out for one that already is? He's going to be. He's shown he can do it. He's only got a year and a half of service time or something. This team is moving on from him for whatever reason. We've got the guy for like 4 years. They would do that.
More from Charrington. This is him saying that he is ready to make a trade, contrary to some popular belief.
We hear that, you know, right? And we feel it ourselves. We often were thinking the same way. Of course, there's things we want to be better at, and every game matters. And so when you have a loss, maybe, and you see something happen that could have been better, and first thing you do is we think about ourselves and what can we do about that? What can we make that better? So in a way, we react in a very consistent way than as our fans do. And we certainly hear that feedback from our fans, their passion. Yeah, it's just we just have to find the right opportunities. It's not a matter of whether we're willing to give up something to get something. We are. We should be willing to do that. We're ready to do that. Just got to find the right matches. And if we do that well enough, again, I believe we can remain competitive, stay in this thing, get better in 2024, and also continue that progress going forward.
We're ready to do it. But it does sound like it has to fit a very specific.
It's got to be their something they want to do. It's got to fit their mold, I guess you'd call it, right?
It's
within their parameters, their comfort level, their tolerance level.
Yeah, something like that.
How many of those? But like seriously, how many trades like that exist in sports? Not even baseball. How many of those kinds of trades exist? Hey, this is a major move, and we also just feel super comfortable about it. That hardly ever happens. Every time a team executes a trade, whether they're on the buyer or the seller end, especially in baseball, you have to feel like there's an element of risk involved.
He sounds like almost to me like he's running he's a store owner, and he opens up and the doors open and here comes customers, and there's potentially just a lot of window shopping that takes place. People look at what they have. Oh, this isn't bad. They look at the price on it. Oh, never mind. One of those things.
No, I'm okay with what I've got. Or do you have a store, a generic brand?
And especially because there's so many options right now, there's so many different places to go, there are so many other teams that are in a very similar boat to the Pirates. They're really only in it because of the way the league has watered down its playoffs and added more teams and created this very situation where you have a club that's under 500 that feels like it's very much alive and in it.
Are the Pirates the most unique of that watered-down group that's technically a contender, though, because of the frontline starting pitching?
I think so.
They are, I think, in a position
yes.
way different than the Reds.
I
or
do
any
agree
other
with you on
like that.
Right. They got to. I think they need to.
They're the only. You know what? I'll go so far as to say this. Knowing that the playoffs are random, of all of those teams that are within one or two games of 500 on either side of it, I'd probably give them, if they got in, the best chance to win the whole thing because of pitching. If your pitching gets hot for, what is it, a month? Your pitching just gets red hot.
So those teams are Cardinals, Padres, Mets, Diamondbacks, Pirates, Giants, Nationals, Reds, and Cubs. Oh my God, it's half the league.
I would give them
a
better
in that glut.
Okay, but I'm saying I would give them a better chance than any of those teams. If
even
I were
Arizona that was just there.
What was special about last year's Arizona team? Corbin Carroll and they had a good bullpen.
Zach Gallen was pretty good. No, they just had a young team that all seemed to click.
But they didn't.
At
they
the
didn't.
Right time.
They were never overwhelming when they won. They were not an overwhelming team
no.
at any point. They were 84-78, and so I think the Pirates have the potential.
They were lucky.
If the Pirates get the Jared Jones that started the season or close to it, the continued version of Skeens, and largely Keller, who I thought was better than his numbers in his last start because they played horrible little league defense behind him.